You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Lena, this is Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Webby, we've been looking for you everywhere.
Cute, with the names and the color-coded outfits. Is that like your thing? You're all exactly the same?
Ha! No way! We're all unique snowflakes! Well, this usually never happens. This is really weird. Okay, stop talking! Anti-disestablishmentarianism! Seriously? Gah!
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 4, The Beagle Birthday Massacre. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we're back. We're getting caught up. We're getting caught up this week. So after this, we will actually be on track to put out episodes when they air, so or soon after. But before we jump into the Beagle Birthday Massacre, we're just going to run down some news real quick. Curtis, what have you got for everybody this week?
Well, I've been following Frank Anganas on Twitter, and he's always talking about the show and such. But he was noting, based on the episode order that we've been talking about in our news and that's been released, that it's a... they're playing the episodes out of order, which is sort of usual for Disney XD, I guess.
Yep.
but he wanted to make a special note about what the order should be, because he says they were written in a very specific order in order to create a flow. And for instance, the reason why Huey wasn't in the last episode, the Great Dime Chase, is because the episode previous to that, which hasn't even been announced to air yet, was a Huey-centric episode. So they felt okay with having him not be in the next episode. But when and what else does he say? He says the order is to properly space out character spotlights, season arcs, and the right ratio of Duckburg episodes to globetrotting episodes. So they've completely messed up the order here. So for those of you who are listening in the future and are trying to follow along, our episodes are coming out as they air. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be in the intended, production order, I guess.
Yeah, that would be very difficult considering one of these episodes hasn't even officially been announced yet.
Exactly, yeah. So here's the order that they're supposed to be in. Episode 1, Woohoo, 2, Day Trip of Doom. 3 is the unannounced Huey episode. 4, Great Dime Chase. 5, Beagle Birthday Massacre. And the next episode that's scheduled to air that we're going to talk about is Terror of the Terraformians, but that's actually the last episode out of this first group. So the next one's episode 6 is House of Lucky Yander. Then 7 is Infernal Internship of Mark Beeks. Number 8 is The Living Mummies of Tothra. And then number 9 is Terror of the Terraformians. And then he also makes a note, Escape to/from Atlantis is a re-edit of parts of the pilot for programming purposes.
Yeah, so, I double checked that before we started recording tonight. I fired it up and just watched the first 5 minutes. It was so difficult because I started it and it starts with the Glomgold thing, so I watched all of that through, and then it gets to the theme song, so I watched all the theme song, and then the only reason that I didn't just sit there and watch the whole episode again is because the it went to commercial, so I was like, okay, right. I'm good. But it was really funny how, even though I have now seen that probably like 4 times, I was immediately sucked back into
it. It's still good. It's so good. That's right.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's this is an interesting piece of behind the scenes for animation. This happens a lot, especially with networks like Cartoon Network and Disney XD. They'll often air stuff out of order.
Well, and he said that Terror of the Terraformians was bumped up in the order to coincide closer to Halloween.
Gotcha. And
the Huey episode is bumped further because it has apparently it has snow in it, so they want to tie it in with the holidays, which is what I actually had suggested.
Yeah.
In a previous episode, that it was Christmas themed. So I don't think it's exactly Christmas themed, but it has a winter feel to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, how does that affect like the ongoing story arc and like how they're uncovering facts about Della Duck and the mysterious Lena who we meet in this episode?
Like, yeah, and
is
if
that
you
all messed it up?
When you hear the description for Terror of the Terraformians, I think that you'll see that that Beagle Birthday Massacre leading right into Terror of the Terraformians is very interesting, because obviously it was intended to put some space between those two episodes so that we would get that tease and then have it pay off later on. But the way that it's going to air is that it aired, and then the following week we're going to learn more. So
that's
very interesting, and I think probably accidental on the part of Disney XD. But it's funny
that would
because
be so frustrating for the writers.
Oh God, so frustrating. Yeah, the way that these networks treat continuity and story, they don't care. They really don't care.
Yeah.
They expect much like it was when we were kids. I mean, honestly, when things were syndicated, I mean, you didn't necessarily catch every single episode of Ghostbusters or DuckTales, but
there wasn't the focus on the season arcs and
absolutely.
that sort of intensity with the with the order back then. It didn't matter what if you just play them all out of order.
Yeah, well, with Disney Afternoon, it didn't really matter until Gargoyles.
Until Gargoyles,
that was the first show that really did. I mean, there were two-parters and that sort of thing, or in the case of DuckTales with the premiere, the five-parter. And I think there were a couple, with DuckTales, there's a couple of three- and four-parters as well throughout. But each episode kind of stands on its own as well. So, but you know, honestly, if we didn't know so far, I wouldn't have guessed. And really, I guess the only thing so far is that one episode is just missing from this order. But
right. Well, and these first few episodes, they're going to be a light on the mystery and the continuity because we're just learning the characters.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That's okay. We'll just have to see how it develops from here on out.
Yeah. You want to jump into the Birthday Beagle Massacre?
I think we should.
Okay, cool. So after crashing Ma Beagle's birthday party, Webby and new mysterious friend Lena must fight their way through Beagle Boy turf to get back home. So this episode aired on September 29th, 2017, written by Bob Snow and directed by Dana Terrace.
Yep.
Pretty good episode. New character alert, and not just in the sense of like a new character for this incarnation, but a new character altogether. And one that very obviously, I think for me from the beginning, was connected to a classic character. I thought
it was obvious to you.
Yeah. Oh, right at the outset. Right at the outset.
Why was that?
The amulet around her neck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the amulet was such a dead giveaway for me. It was
that was such an awkward thing to just kind of point out out of the blue.
Yeah, so, and sort of her just sort of devil-may-care attitude, I was like, oh, this character will be important in some fashion. This isn't a one-off character. I wonder what's going to happen. And then you sort of see the surroundings and then you see the amulet and I went, oh, I totally know where this is going.
It's been interesting because there has been, are we going to spoil it already here?
We'll get to it. We'll get to
okay.
it.
Okay. Then I'll bring it up later.
Yeah. Cool. So let's jump into our top three moments. Why don't you start, Curtis?
Sure. I really liked just Webby's general social awkwardness in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
She always has that kind of quirky, I don't know, just kind of doesn't really know how to exist in the real world. But yeah. there are just some great things. Like the I loved her bottles that the bottles at the beginning of the episode that she yeah. found washed ashore, and she collects them all and she's like, I need to save. You're either a whatever, and she lists off a bunch of things yeah. that were in the bottle. Yeah, that was just a great gag.
Well, and then Lena gives her one to write herself, and she writes something totally not in keeping with the gag.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like, have a nice day or something. Like, she's like, you're not very good at this, are you? yeah, it was pretty good. I did like it. I like what they've done with her character, because they've managed to keep Webby naive, but they've taken away the innocence. And so now she's just kind of weird.
And but it's so weird. It's not just an innocence. It's yeah. like she's got a very twisted mind. And so there's a yeah. point in one of the other episodes. What was it? In the Fun Zone episode where yeah. it's like she's about to be captured by or caught by the manager because she's trying to steal the drink,
yeah,
and doing a very bad job at it. And Huey, who's standing behind the manager, does the little like cutthroat,
yeah, like the stop it, yeah,
stop talking,
yeah.
And Webby takes that to mean kill him, and so she slowly raises a spork,
yeah,
she's gonna stab the guy,
yeah,
like, yeah, it's innocence because she doesn't know how to act in the real world, but there's a very kind of dark, twisted
yeah,
person behind there.
We talked about it on the last episode that the characters have kind of been reinvented for the more adventurous aspect, right?
Yeah.
And so because Beakley is, as far as we know, a spy or a former spy, maybe just an inactive agent at the moment, she's been trained by... Webby has been trained by Beakley to do what's necessary, right? To defend yeah. herself.
Right.
And so the idea of her being like in that previous episode when she just sneaks out of the ropes and she's like, this is getting kidnapped 101. You guys haven't been taught this stuff.
Thank you.
That's all kind of connected. So the sense of humor for her character is very dark. But dark in a fun way. It's never like a downbeat. It's always played for a laugh, and it's mm-hmm. I think that they do such a good job with it.
They do.
To the flip side of that is the boys, who are kind of just the quintessential cartoon hijinks characters of 2000, the sort of 2015 era. Very much inspired by things like Adventure Time. One of my favorite moments at the beginning of the episode is when they're all getting ready to go and they tell the story of Captain Lost. And then they yeah. just start chanting Captain Lost, Captain Lost. And it becomes a running gag. Because later on in the episode, I love that they as they go off, the three of them chanting Captain Lost. Even Louis is chanting Captain Lost, but they're making fun of him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because they're brothers. So they're just like, they're like, if they're not making fun of one, they're making fun of the other. So it doesn't really matter.
And they kind of want it to happen again because it was a fun adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. So they later on in the episode we find out that that in fact they got lost again thanks to Captain Lost, and Louis turns and he's like, why would you give me the map again? And it's just this great, like, I love that they don't shy away from the cartoon gags, but then they acknowledge the internal logic of the show. Yeah. And there's a sort of like postmodern meta aspect to that I really enjoy. I talked about on the last episode, Community, and that I think being an influence on this. And this is one of the reasons why I feel that way, because that's a very Community joke to have a running gag from something that we haven't seen. Right. So the Captain Lost is a reference to a sort of quote unquote previous episode that doesn't exist because it's before the series started.
Yeah.
And then within the episode that we first hear about Captain Lost, to have another reference callback to another adventure that happened off screen. They references how stupid it is that they got lost again, that they just they yeah. fell into the same trope a second time with the same character. That is so like quintessentially Community. That's right. The sort of thing that you would expect to see. In fact, there's a whole episode of Community that's devoted to it's a you know, like a clip show episode where you just see clips from previous episodes. Community does one of those, I think it's in the second season, where they do a whole clip show of episodes that don't exist. So awesome. It's all new stuff, but they play it off as like, remember that time we went to that ghost town? And then they show a clip from the ghost town episode, but that episode doesn't exist. That didn't happen. Like it happened in the story, but it didn't happen in the show.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like that's a very, very similar type of joke. So I just thought that was so funny. I loved that moment, that callback. So what's next up for you?
Well, next up for me is the star. I feel like the star of this episode is Eric Bauza.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy cow, he voiced all of the Beagle Boys.
All of them,
in this
yeah.
one episode. All of them.
Yeah.
And did a great job because they all sounded distinct and had their own personalities and accents and everything.
Yeah.
The Beagle Boys, this totally caught me off guard.
See,
I'm not expecting.
I said it on the last episode. I said, I think you're going to like the next one because the Beagles are just so, there's so much variety. And I love that we have the classic ones. Right. No, they're not necessarily classic, but styled after the classic ones. They have their own updates, right, like we talked about on the last episode. But we've got those ones. And then we have I really like the loser ones. So the Beagle Bros are my, that's my second favorite part of this episode. So we had the loser ones, the three of them that never do anything right. I loved I really loved the extreme ones that were like skateboarding and whatnot. And I love that gag in the middle of the episode where they hop the building on their skateboards. And it's like, they're never going to make that jump on their skateboards. And as they're in the air, they pull out the wingsuits and you're like, oh man. But then they just crank up the exhaust fan or whatever. And then they just kind of blow away in the wind.
Yeah.
The thing about this setup for the Beagle Boys is that, we can bring back any of those ones that have already been introduced, or you can introduce whole new ones whenever you feel like it. And it's kind of, it really reminds me a lot of the clone troopers in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, where it's like, you've got one guy voicing an army of identical clones, but each one is a distinct character.
It's
like, it's that same sort of formula to this, totally. Only played for laughs. Within DuckTales. So I just loved it. I loved that whole thing. And I'm kind of jumping ahead to the Easter eggs references, but all of the different gangs of Beagle Boys, they're each a three person gang. There, a lot of them are actually references to the movie The Warriors.
Oh yeah.
And it's been so long since I've seen The Warriors, so and I've only ever seen it once. And it's not what I would consider a kid appropriate show. So for those who are listening as families, don't run out and rent The Warriors on iTunes or whatever and watch it with your kids, because it is not appropriate. But the just all the kind of jokes and stuff about like the gangs, and everybody's kind of got a little theme and whatnot, like that's all referencing that. And I just think it's hilarious for this kids show to be referencing a movie that is so far from appropriate for the audience. but that's what's great about it, is that it is that kind of reminds me of like that Tiny Toons Animaniacs sort of mentality, where like there are like the Goodfeathers in Animaniacs is referencing Goodfellas.
Oh yes.
Which, like,
you should definitely not watch that.
That's not appropriate for some adults. Like, there's some stuff in Goodfellas that is just like that some adults would have an issue with. Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies of all time. But
oh yeah, it's great.
But yeah, and then the Goodfeathers, it's like those three characters. As a kid, I would watch that and I was just like, this is great. These guys are hilarious. And then as an adult, I'm watching Goodfellas and I'm like, Goodfellas, Goodfeathers, no, all three of them, they're these characters. Like, they're these three characters. So it's that same sort of thing where it's like this really mature adult thing is referenced in this great childish way, and they just sort of take the parts of it that are appropriate and adapt those into the story. And so the junkyard, yeah. And the playground scene towards the end of the episode, all that stuff is very, very heavily reminiscent of The Warriors.
Nice.
And it's fantastic. I love it.
So what was your favorite group of Beagles?
Probably the extreme ones, just because that whole 90s extreme, like, rollerblading, skateboarding thing is just...
Was that the Glam Yankees?
I think so. They kind of had like the Evel Knievel outfits on.
Right.
And they would say like gnarly and stuff like that. Like radical, gnarly.
Or was it the Longboard Taquitos?
Yeah, it was the long, I think it was the Longboard Taquitos. They were very like 90s.
Yeah.
Extreme sports, with the wingsuits and the skateboards and stuff.
Right.
which to me reminds me of an extremely goofy movie, which is the sequel to movie, which is the movie that is loosely spun out of Goof Troop. Very, very loosely. It's sort of, there's a little bit of a Disney legacy thing there. But I just have such nostalgia for that era and that sort of idea of the extreme sports 90s,
right,
sort of thing. So they were probably my favorites from this one, because I'm sure that we're going to get more. I really like the loser ones as well, the loser Beagle boys.
The Ugly Failures.
Yeah. That was a highlight, especially towards the end of the episode when they trick them and everybody.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I like the Tumblebums as well. They reminded me a lot of the Joker's gang from Batman Beyond.
Yeah,
kinda totally. Had that sort of similar kind of creepy feel to it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, what was your final favorite moment?
My final moment was actually Ma Beagle. I really liked her, how she commanded the whole group. She didn't speak to them like a mother, or even like Ma Beagle spoke to her boys in the original DuckTales. It was like she was commanding like a mob or like a prison gang. She was actually this, I don't know, she was leading an uprising rather than, I don't know, just being mom or being the kind of person that we are used to from the original DuckTales.
Mm.
It was much more commanding, and just I did like how there's that one gag where Big Time they're like, we caught the brats, and then Big Time's like, no, or we got to tell mom, And Big Time says, "Now she's not going to be happy with that." And then she comes out and is happy with that. And he's like, every single time, yeah. It's like he just can't do the right thing in his mom's eyes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I do like this version of Ma Beagle. I really like everything that they've done with reimagining the Beagles and sort of making them a little bit less. A little less goofy, but not by taking away any of the charm. Right?
They're really making them more an actual threat or actually menacing. Like they could actually do some damage here.
Yeah, like the stakes are really there, and they seem dangerous as opposed.
They're not
to
just bank robbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could see a full season being dedicated to them as being the big bad guys.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, cool. Well, my final favorite moment from this episode is the reveal of Magica. Magica, a classic character, character from the comics, probably. I'm guessing.
Magica?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. She goes way back.
Yeah. So The reveal was sort of foreshadowed for the classic DuckTales fans, I think. We got a lot of hints at it very early on in the episode, like we were talking about earlier. So like the amulet and where Lena was, it all kind of like that, because she was in kind of, they were like the sort of Greek columns, and it looked like a ruin. So I was like, oh, well, this is obviously something magic related. And if it's magical and it's DuckTales, Magica Dispella is the first character that you're going to think of. And the reveal at the end where she just kind of comes out of Lena's shadow, and we get that reveal that Magica is her aunt. I actually found that surprising, because I thought that Lena was Magica. That's what I was expecting. Yeah. I thought that at the end of the episode, she was going to walk away from Webby and she was going to sort of like touch her amulet and transform into Magica. And we would discover that actually she was Magica the whole time. And that she's getting close to Webby in order to get close to Scrooge's lucky dime, right? His number one dime. Cause that's I mentioned it on the last episode that Scrooge's dime is, It has magical properties and it makes him a bit of a target. So, but I wasn't far off. Magica is after, I assume she's after something of Scrooge's. It might be the diamond, it might be something else. Because as we've seen, Scrooge has all of these different artifacts and that sort of thing.
So my question does Magica have a pre-existing history with Scrooge? Or are they going to meet for the first time?
I think that there's a history there, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's connected to the overarching mythology of the series and the season one plot involving Della. I won't be surprised at all if actually Magica is involved in that story. And the Spear of Selene and whatever is going on with that. Because the only reason I can think of that the Spear of Selene would cause the sort of turmoil that it has within the McDuck/Duck family is if it's if it has magical properties and it's dangerous, right? So my guess is that Della has taken it somewhere to keep it away from everybody else. Right, to sort of protect her sons, right? So that's sort of what I'm leaning towards with this story, and Magica coming in I think definitely lends itself towards that. And I could see Magica and Glomgold and maybe some other characters teaming up towards the end of the season to try and defeat Scrooge and the gang. So, yeah, this seems to me like, especially the next episode, I think we're going to get even more into it. And it's going to be very, anything with magic is going to be very heavy into the overarching mythology of the series.
Okay, well, we've kind of talked about our behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to make a quick note that Magica has a niece in the comics.
Okay.
But it's not Lena. It's a different person. It's like a mini Magica. It's of no real consequence.
Mm.
It's not really the same character at all. What I am looking forward to is seeing if Magica's brother will be in this show. Because if you are fans of the original DuckTales, you'll know that Magica's brother was turned into a crow named Poe, and the crow was always around when Magica was. So I'd like to see a little bit of the story. How did he become a crow and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think that Magica is somehow cursed and is that's why she's connected to Lena at the moment, and it has to do, I think it's connected to the amulet. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, to see how close it is to the original and what new twist they've put on it, because I'm sure that they have. But cool. I guess now we should check in with our Junior Woodchuck podcast and see what they thought about this episode.
Hello, my name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And today we're going to hear Beagle Birthday Massacre. So what was this one about, Milo? There's no Uncle Scrooge in it, just remember that. So who's actually the main characters? I think that was too hard. So who's the main characters? So the main characters are Webby and, well, I bet you know, right? Webby, Lena, no Uncle Scrooge, none. So, well, my favorite part was when Webby sneaked in and then, like, all the Beagle Boys. The Beagle Boys were cool. All of them.
And I also got some song.
So this one's really good. You've got to watch it. It's really funny. And that's all for today. So see you next afternoon.
See you next afternoon.
We got our first email from Jared Boyd.
That's exciting.
Yeah. He posted this to Facebook, and I did see it, but I never got around to responding to it. So, Jared, my apologies, but he sent it to us through email again. So I just want to read it. It's kind of a cool theory, even if he admits that it's not actually going to happen because of the news we heard from Jim Cummings the other week. So here's what he has to say. Hey, Disney dads. Been loving the podcast so far. I posted this over on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Let's get down to the theory. Wanted to share this little theory about Darkwing Duck's involvement in the new DuckTales that you guys inspired due to pointing out some Easter eggs from part one of Woohoo, only for it to be apparently busted by the news from Jim Cummings. So, after you guys pointed out the pieces of paper near the picture of Fergus McDuck, I came across a few bits that would have made for a very interesting way of tying him into Fowl, and how you could add to the drama of a Darkwing DuckTales team-up. Number one, the High Command. The shadowy leadership of Fowl, never clearly revealed in any media, including what seems to be an anthropomorphic duck. Includes what seems to be an anthropomorphic duck. Given that Fowl has a history of dealing with advanced technology and the occult across various Darkwing media, it would make total sense that they would have the ability to prolong or even restore life, as seen in the case with Darkwing's Taras Bulba, applying that to your suggestion that Fergus may have been involved with Fowl's founding, I would go so far as to say that he might well still be one of Fowl's leaders, if not its supreme commander. Number two, because no fiction is... Well, so first of all, let me just comment on number one. That could still be the case, because just because of what Jim Cummings says, that actually might not have anything to do with Fowl. If Darkwing Duck is a TV show in DuckTales, Fowl could still exist.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, absolutely.
Beakley could still be a part of it. Okay, he goes on. Number two, because no fiction is complete without family drama, I came across another interesting fun fact. Fergus's wife in the old comics was identified as one Molly Mallard. This is Scrooge's parents, I believe, Fergus McDuck and Molly Mallard. To me, it seems like the new DuckTales folks could totally have capitalized on this element by linking her to Drake Mallard, because they have the same last name, right? Oh, yeah, that's what he says, given the shared family name. This would have added drama to the upcoming Darkwing appearance, as Drake could easily have been a not-too-distant cousin of Scrooge and Donald, with some potential bad blood existing between the McDucks and the Ducks and the McDucks/Ducks and the Mallards as a result of Fergus's corruption. Sadly, it looks like that's not going to be happening, but I thought you might find the idea interesting. The thought also occurs that if this piece of paper marked the traitor is referring to Quackmore Duck, it's closest in proximity to his picture, then he might be involved with Fowl, but the board doesn't really seem to imply that. Anyway, I hope you find this cool, and looking forward to your next episode, Jared.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff seems to have been debunked by the leak of information from Jim Cummings, but I'm not willing to rule anything out yet, because although Darkwing is going to be introduced as a character on a TV show, I'll point back to a Batman the Animated Series episode as evidence that that story can create something else.
Oh yeah.
And that's the Grey Ghost episode.
Yeah, where, one of the best ones out there.
Yeah, one of my top episodes of the series. Adam West voicing the Grey Ghost, which is such a great Easter egg in that. In that episode, the Grey Ghost is a television show that Bruce Wayne watched as a child that actually was part of the inspiration for him to become Batman. And then in the episode, the Grey Ghost as an older man, obviously, because Bruce Wayne was watching him as a child,
yeah,
actually teams up with Batman to solve the crime and to save the day. So, you could absolutely have a scenario in which Darkwing is a TV crime fighter, and I can't imagine they're going to do anything but this version of the story where he will in fact end up helping them save the day in real life and discover that he's not just a TV crime fighter, but he could also be a real hero.
Right.
And from that, I think you could spin things out. The other thing that that I think I've alluded to before is that we could have something where so this is a bit of a long walk, but just bear with me.
Okay.
So in the original Darkwing Duck, the character, in the premiere of the series, they kind of lose it after the first few episodes, but is a really big deal in the first episode. Darkwing is after fame and glory. Like, that's his whole thing, is that he wants to be on the front cover of the newspaper and stuff like that, right? Like, he wants to sign autographs and be famous and be the Darkwing Duck. In a modern version of that character, what would be a better way than for that character to have his own TV show? right? There's even an episode of Darkwing Duck where he, like we've talked about it before, where he travels to a different world that's kind of the real world where Darkwing Duck is a TV show. And he discovers that he's famous. And so Darkwing's always been this very sort of egomaniacal superhero within the Disney afternoon universe. And I think that you could play that up to the extent that, like, maybe he did start off as somebody who wanted to fight crime. We don't really know the extent of what the TV show is either. What if the TV show is not a fictional TV show, but is in fact like some sort of reality show, right? Where Darkwing That's is going true. Around and like a Dog the Bounty Hunter sort of thing, and he's fighting crime, but we find out that it's all fake. Like the boys find out that it's all fake and their hero is full of it. And then over the course of the episode, Darkwing discovers that he is in fact a hero. And again, you spin it out from that you add layers onto it. So all of the stuff that Jared has said in his email could very well play out. I'm not taking anything off the board yet. The world is full of possibility. So, I don't know. We're supposed to see Darkwing in the first season, and so we'll have an answer sooner rather than later, I think.
I think so.
So, you know, we just got to kind of sit tight. But that's not going to stop us from speculating about it pretty much every episode, because Darkwing Duck is the best. So.
Yeah. Well, let's move over to our Lucky Dime rating.
Yeah.
What are you going to rate this one, Mike?
I'm going to give this 40 cents, four dimes. I think it's a good episode. There's some really good laughs, but it kind of drags in the middle for me a little bit. There's a lot of the same thing. It's really just a lot of running around with some gags in between. But I did enjoy it. It is a good episode, but not quite as good as the other ones so far.
Yeah, I'm also going to give this one a four. The Beagle Boys are great. Really appreciate that. I thought it kind of dragged a little bit in the middle there too. And I think mostly, I think Webby is her strongest when she's, so far from what I've seen, when she's with the nephews. So when she's on her own, even though she was with Lena, when she's on her own, she's not as strong of a character. Yeah. I think you need to have that. You have to have the balance of the street smarts that the boys have.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
So there's a new thing that I want to introduce here.
Okay.
Now that we have four episodes under our belt here, I want to create a Twitter poll where we rank all of the episodes. So I'm going to create a poll on Twitter. So head over to Toon Afternoon on Twitter and find this. You have 7 days from when this episode airs to cast your vote on which is your favorite episode. Whichever episode gets last place is out of the running. And next week I'll add in the new episode and then we'll rank those ones. And then by the end of the season, we should see what are the top four most popular episodes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. So everybody needs to go to @ToonAfternoon on Twitter to check out that Twitter poll and get in and
cast your vote.
Yep. Cool. Well, let's before we sign off, let's give the description for the next episode. Terror of the Terra Firmians. Huey and Webby's disagreement over the existence of a mythic species leads the kids to explore an eerie abandoned subway tunnel, while Mrs. Beakley grows suspicious of Lena. So mostly going to be about the Terra Firmians, but then there's going to be a little bit of that overarching story to do with Lena.
So. Yep.
Cool. Well, that does it for this one. Thank you guys for listening, and yeah, we're up to date now. So we will see you on the next episode, and then we'll just have regular episodes moving forward, one a week. So, thank you guys for sticking with us as we get the schedule sorted out and whatnot. But,
yeah.
Cool. That's it. That's it for this one. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArcWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.